Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
We here in Pennsylvania had much hope that the U.S. Supreme Court would hear the election cases that had been appealed to the higher court, but our hopes were dashed on February 22nd, George Washington's birthday. He must be rolling over in his grave as he sees his country headed the direction it is. Basically, the majority on the U.S. Supreme Court gave a green light to any PA governor or secretary of the Commonwealth to reinterpret the law any way they want. You know, however, the election law can be interpreted however they want. This sends a terrible message to all PA voters who expect a fair election. My guest today is Philip Jaregi with the Judicial Action Group, or JAG. We're going to talk about those cases, as well as a case out of California that the Supreme Court just handed down their decision. So, before the November 3rd election, well, first, thanks, Philip, for being with us. I'll just get that in there.
Yeah, thank you. It's always an honor to be with you, Diane. Thanks a lot.
You know, before the November 3rd election, the Supreme Court decided not to hear an election case that had been brought before them, with John Roberts siding with the liberals in the 4-4 decision. Now, after the election, other cases have been brought before them, and they decided that those cases, the Pennsylvania cases, are moot. What does that word mean?
Well, interesting word. Moot means that it's no longer a dispute. And the argument that they're making here is that because the election is over and Joe Biden has been sworn in as president, that a contest over the election is moot, because there's no longer a contest.
Oh my goodness.
Basically what they're saying. Now the interesting thing, though, there's an exception to that mootness doctrine in the law, and that is, in other words, a court will say, let's assume, just for the sake of argument, Diane, that it truly is moot, or there are some cases that are truly moot. There are sometimes when a court will say, even though this case is moot, we're still going to render a decision, because this is the type of dispute that can happen again and not be decided by a court. Or in legalese, they call that capable of repetition, yet evading review. So if it's something like an election case that would have to be resolved in 5 weeks, you know, between November 3rd and December 6th or something, You have about 4 or 5 weeks. It's really hard to have a lawsuit work itself through the system all the way up to the Supreme Court and be dealt with within that period of time.
Right.
So it's capable of repeating, but it's also capable of evading review, not having a court be able to decide it before the clock runs and it becomes, quote, moot. So that was the argument that Justice Thomas, Justice Alito, and Justice Gorsuch made in this Republican Party of Pennsylvania case. They said, we need to decide this because this is the type of thing that can happen again, whether it's in 2024 or some other time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're right. I mean, they're absolutely right.
So are the other justices, I think it was a 6-3 decision not to hear the three cases. So the other judges don't think we're going to have any elections in the future? I mean, that'd be the message I would get.
Well, no, great. That's a great question, Diane. The problem is they don't speak on it. And this is what's interesting, because this comes up on a petition for certiorari, or basically asking the court, will you hear this case? Well, the court, I mean, even on the day they denied this cert petition, they denied probably over 100 other cert petitions. I'd have to count them.
Oh, my goodness.
But just tons of them. And so typically they don't write something to explain why they're not taking a case or why they're denying cert. So it's normal for them to not write, but this is not a normal case. And
right,
it's the reason why on a cert denial, you had two justices writing opinions that were pretty strong in dissenting. So we don't know the rationale. You know, do they think there's not going to be an election in 2024? No, they probably do. The problem is, given what Justice Thomas wrote and what Justice Alito wrote, they make a really good case that the majority of the court is really missing it here, and they should have taken this case. But, you know, again, the rest of the justices didn't write. Justice Barrett didn't write. Justice Kavanaugh didn't. I'd love to know their rationale. But given what I know about the case and what Justice Thomas and Alito wrote, I have a real problem with how Justice Barrett and Justice Kavanaugh voted.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that Justice Barrett This is something I had heard anyway, that Justice Barrett has said she had not had a chance to review the case. Like, what have you been doing since November?
Well, that was true when this case was first decided, and that's important because this case came up to the court. I think it was the day after she took office,
right.
They rendered a decision, a preliminary decision.
Yeah, 4-4 split, correct, yeah.
Yeah, and she didn't participate. Now, looking back now, golly, I wish she would have.
Yeah.
I wish they would have delayed that another day or two for her to get a good read on this case. But I don't think that was her rationale for voting to deny cert here.
Mm-hmm.
There's no indication from the court that she didn't participate in this case, either granting or wanting to take cert. So I've got to assume she participated this time. She's had enough time to look at it.
Yeah.
Perhaps she didn't, but there's no indication in what the court released that that's the case, at least that I can find.
Yeah. One thing that I had really hoped on, and it's still going to be a fight here, because a clear reading of our Constitution, our PA Constitution, says that no excuse mail-in ballots is unconstitutional. Of course, that was Congressman Mike Kelly's case. And a Commonwealth Court judge, Patricia McCullough, had ruled basically saying, this was the day after Thanksgiving, basically saying her opinion was, let's get the evidence out here and let's look at the evidence. You know, the state should not certify the election until we've looked at all the evidence. And she handed down that decision the day after Thanksgiving, and the state immediately appealed to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, and the Pennsylvania Supreme Court immediately threw out her opinion. So as far as I know, she's the only judge, at least in Pennsylvania, who said, let's look at the evidence and make a decision here. And fortunately, she's running for Pennsylvania Supreme Court, you know, in November. Well, she asked you through the primary first, of course, in May. But that was Mike Kelly's case, and I was hoping that that would be addressed because our Constitution clearly does not allow for no-excuse mail-in ballots. And why in the world a Republican-controlled House and Senate passed that portion of Act 77, I have no idea. I'm not an attorney, but plain reading of the PA Constitution does not allow for no-excuse mail-in ballots. So, anyway.
And I haven't looked at that particular issue with the Pennsylvania Constitution, so I can't speak to it, but I can say, and this is interesting, President Trump mentioned this yesterday in his CPAC speech, how we don't need to have this no-excuse mail-in voting.
Exactly.
It's incredibly dangerous.
Yeah.
It's not that it can't occur properly, but there's a reason we haven't done it in the past. Democrats and Republicans have said it's subject to a lot of weaknesses and abuse.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
Just not wise.
No, and I think this past November 3 election was perfect evidence of the questions, I'll put it like that, the questions that arise with no excuse mail-in ballots. So another case I'll just throw out there was also the extension of the 3-day extension, I believe it was, look at my notes here, the Republican Party of Pennsylvania, that was the 3-day extension for mail-in ballots return.
Yes.
And then there was another case that the postmarks on the mail-in ballots could be there, could not be there, you know. Legally, it had to be postmarked by, with the extension, it'd be postmarked by election day. But again, it still is, it boggles my mind why the U.S. Supreme Court would not take those cases. I don't understand.
I agree. And I think one thing that I loved about, you know, in this DeGraffenreid case from last week, there was some bad news. There was also some good news. The good news was that three justices really made the argument that I and other lawyers have been making since the election, and that is that many of the votes that were counted were illegal and unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
And what we mean by that is that the federal Constitution says that the manner of electing presidents and the electors for president has to be made by the state legislature.
Yeah.
President Trump talked about this last night as well.
Mm-hmm.
But Justice Thomas raises this, and so does Justice Alito. They make the constitutional argument that the framers of our Constitution wanted to make sure that the power making the rules for electing a president came through state legislatures. Now, why would they do that? Why would they not say a state secretary of state? The reason's obvious. They didn't want it to be in one person's hands.
Right.
They wanted to spread it out and not only put it in the legislative branch, but put it in the branch that's closest to the people who are electing them. So there's a reason why they did that. So when the Pennsylvania legislature says mail-in ballots have to be here and they have to be postmarked by 8 p.m. on election day, they didn't mean that the Pennsylvania Supreme Court can just willy-nilly engage in judicial activism and extend that deadline by 3 days.
Yeah.
So when the Pennsylvania Supreme Court does that, not only are they violating Pennsylvania law, they're violating Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2 of the federal constitution, which says the rules have to be made by the state legislature and by implication, not by the state Pennsylvania Supreme Court, right?
Exactly.
So that's a major problem. Thankfully, Justice Thomas talked about it. I would think we could get five or more votes on that issue before the Supreme Court. The fact that the court didn't take this case because it was, quote, moot, doesn't mean that Barrett and Kavanaugh wouldn't agree or that we couldn't even get more votes than that. So we don't want to concede it, but it still is really troublesome that they didn't address it, because we need guidance for future elections, because this is likely to come up again.
Absolutely. 2024, for sure. I'm sure it will come up again. There's no question about that.
Well, and if you're plotting and scheming from the left, and you see what you did in the run-up to 2020, and you see how it worked for you, then and you see that no one held you accountable, then wouldn't they draw the conclusion, hey, this worked, let's do it again.
Yeah.
Not only let's do it again, let's crank it up a notch or two, because this really works.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, absolutely, that's the problem. I know that there are a lot of very concerned voters across America who have seen this happen, especially in the battleground states. And they've seen this happen, and they've seen the legislative body basically, especially here in Pennsylvania, basically being neutered by the state's high court, and then the U.S. high court refused to take the cases in this case.
Yep.
So, you know, I was thinking a little bit ago, do you think that if the 2000 Supreme Court had existed with these sitting justices right now, do you think Al Gore would have won that presidency, that presidential race?
Oh,
I think
the justices overall ought to be, like, these justices that we have are more constitutionalist than the justices that we had then. The problem is all the pressures around them are totally different. So I think another question is, if you took the justices from 2000 and put them in the current environment, what would they be doing? I think they would be even worse. But it doesn't speak well of our justices now that they're being influenced by the environment, right? And they ought to be influenced by the law, the Constitution, and their oath, and that's it. And that's why we give them lifetime positions, or they serve during good behavior,
effectively
that becomes lifetime, right?
Exactly.
Well,
unfortunately,
because we want to insulate them from the political process, but that's not what's happening right now. I mean, every perception is they're catering to the mob to some degree, and that's a problem.
Yeah, because we're all wondering what in the world. Of course, we have no idea, or you know, no way of knowing, but they have to be under intense pressure by those seeking to remake America to do what they've done or not do what we wish they would do in taking up these cases. So what with this decision, or lack of decision, by the U.S. Supreme Court when it came to these cases and other election cases that they threw out, what does this mean for election integrity? Can we depend upon, because we're being told, now it's up to the state legislatures to pass laws to make our elections more safe, to emphasize or to enforce election integrity. We did that here in Pennsylvania. And everything, all the laws that the legislative body passed, which unfortunately, again, the no excuse mail and ballots was a big mistake as far as I'm concerned, but the other laws that they passed were in place, but they were thrown out. So our state legislative body has done its job when it comes to election integrity. Mm-hmm. Can we, here in Pennsylvania, trust the election process? I don't know.
I think that's the biggest question we face as a nation right now. And I don't know the answer to it either, Diane. I think we don't know yet. And I've said this to many, many allies that we have. And I'll tell you too, what has my focus been over the last 20 years? It's been on the judiciary and reforming the judiciary and getting justices back into the role of deciding cases, not legislating from the bench. But now all of a sudden I'm thinking to myself, no, I have another issue, and that is election reform, election integrity. And I would say the same for you, the same for every one of your listeners, the same for every single issue group out there, like pro-life groups, other organizations that are looking to protect their daughters from losing college athletic scholarships to young men who declare themselves women. I mean, every organization out there, for them to succeed or protect their issue or protect what's important to them, if we can't have an honest election,
yeah,
then nothing else matters.
Yep, that's for sure.
I've told a little story. You know, Jesus was great with parables. I'm not comparing myself to Jesus, but to learn a little bit from him, I've painted the example. If you have two football teams playing a game, and there's the blue team and the red team, and the blue team wins the game 42-0, but there's a corrupt scoreboard operator that assigns all the touchdowns from the red team to the blue team, mm-hmm. and at the end, the blue team gets the trophy, and we say, okay, next year we'll see what happens. Well, mm-hmm. if the red team decides their strategy is that they're going to go practice and get bigger and stronger and faster so that they can score more touchdowns and win next year, is that a wise strategy?
No, if they have the same scorekeeper, for sure not. No, it's not going to
exactly.
win.
Exactly. So we have to deal with the institutional threshold issue of a corrupt scoreboard operator, or it doesn't matter. We could score 100 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. And it's the same way right now in our nation. We have a corruption in our electoral process, and giving great speeches, coming up with great ideas, spending money on whatever you want to spend money on doesn't matter if we can't secure an honest election. So we've got to deal with that first. That's like flipping the light switch. We've got to get that right or nothing else matters. Yeah. We don't have power on any other issue if we don't deal with that one first.
Absolutely. And using that as a segue, let's talk about the South Bay United Presbyterian Church versus California case. What is that case and what happened there?
So that was the case where Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, allowed abortionists to operate, pot dispensaries to operate, strip clubs to operate, but churches were shut down, totally shut down, not 25%, totally shut down. And he told them, you can't sing.
Can't
sing. I mean, this is like the spirit, I believe it's the spirit of Antichrist that we see functioning. So thank God the U.S. Supreme Court took that case. They took a similar case about, gosh, I guess it was about a month ago, six, 7 weeks ago, out of New York, and that should have resolved this California case. But I guess it was the Ninth Circuit just continued to be a problem. So the Supreme Court issued this opinion, and it was a good opinion. It was 6-3 for us, but it was 6-3 approving the 25% rule, but then also not ruling in our favor yet on the singing issue, needing more evidence. And so this was initially a concern because there were only 3 votes to remove the singing ban in churches. Barrett was one who said, I want to see more evidence. And this came up on a stay, Diane, but it's going to come up before the full court with all of the evidence. And I've talked to some of the attorneys involved, and they say Barrett has made the statement already that if a woman can't sing in church, but that same woman can sing in a Hollywood studio, but that's a problem constitutionally. And they've said that is the case. Those are exactly what the facts are.
Wow.
That the ban on singing in churches was not extended to a Hollywood studio. So one lady could go sing in a Hollywood studio on Saturday, but the next day if she went to church, she couldn't sing.
Wow.
Well, that violates the First Amendment.
Absolutely.
And if that evidence is there, and I believe it will, then we will get Barrett's vote along with Kavanaugh and hopefully Roberts, and also defeat this demonic anti-worshipping singing ban in churches.
Hey, we've now stopped singing in church. I mean, we were shut down for numerous weeks, but then, you know, once we got back together in May, we've been singing and, you know, we're doing just fine. I'm just thankful I do not live in California. I'll put it like that.
I was born there and grew up there and have family there. And it really saddens me because there's so much about that state that I love. The beaches. It's just the weather. It's incredible. The burritos.
Yeah.
You name it. I love, there's so much about California that I love. And it really grieves me to see the oppression and what they're dealing with there. And,
California,
it is sad.
Yeah, and they're leaving. The Californians are leaving the state in droves.
I know.
Because of the oppression.
I know. And the more conservatives leave, you know, it just, and I'm not blaming them, but it's like, gosh, if it's already bad and conservatives leave, it's going to get even worse. And that's very sad for that state and for the people that live there.
Yeah. Well, this COVID thing's not over with. It's not over with yet, even though President Biden guaranteed us it'd be over like on day one or something like that. Anyway, how can folks contact you guys?
Sure. We're at judicialactiongroup.com. It's judicial, J-U-D-I-C-I-A-L, and then action group, just like it sounds, no spaces. So you can reach us through the website, and that has our contact info there.
Okay, fantastic. Judicialactiongroup.com. And thanks, Philip, for your expertise and your view, your interpretation of these cases, because, again, I'm not an attorney, so I depend upon you.
Yeah. always my pleasure to talk with you, Diane. God bless you.
God bless you, too, and you take care.
All right, thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.